Mondo Sampraet, Santista Vitale, Samati Bhaktivinam Pasamane Tanamane. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Guru Vani Pasamane. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Guru Vani Pasamane. Om Yavata Vinanda Sarvinam Janasya. Saksu Savaratam Zainatasman Savaratam. Sri Chaitanya Manavishtha Mastha Pita Vijana Mithala Sayam Vipa Kadamayam Bhakati Sata Vatika Manja Gopati Vascha Vipasini Vyamcha Pitaram Bhagavad Vasudeva Anyone remember where we left off?
We come to the 93 offenses.
What happened? Where did the other seven go?
It was a break, so we couldn't.
No. Now you're making up a different story. So Sisupa was killed, and an effulgent light rose from Sisupa's body. And as everyone watched, that light entered Lord Krishna, just like a meteor falling from the sky to the earth. Has anyone ever seen a meteor?
By the way.
Yes.
There's tonight a meteor shower. It's supposed to be all over the world. It was last night and this night.
Is that auspicious or inauspicious? You know? Inauspicious. But it was auspicious for Sisupal because the soul, entered into the body of Lord Krishna just like a meteor falling from the sky to the earth. Will any land on the earth? Will any land in Perth? Maybe in Gopinathdam. In this connection, the Acharya is reminded that Sisupala is actually one of the Lord's eternal associates playing the part of a belligerent demon. Thus, to most observers, it appears that Sisupala achieved the impersonal liberation of merging into Lord Krishna's bodily effulgence. In fact, after being liberated from his mortal frame, Sisupala returned to the side of his master, the Supreme Lord of the spiritual world. The following verse further explains this. So this was just the pastime of the Lord. When Sisupala was cursed, when Jaya and Vijaya were cursed by the Chatushana, the four Kumaras, their only prayer was that they be enwrapped in meditation and deep thinking of the Lord, that they wouldn't lose that. And then later, the four Kumaras went to the Lord, or the Lord actually came there, and there's a very interesting conversation between the four Kumaras and the Lord, where the Lord says, yes, it's very good that you cursed them, because they've done a great insult to you, and I take their insult to you, just like I have done this insult, because they are my servants. So they started thinking, wait a second, if they're so intimate with the Lord, that an insult that they do, he considers it his insult. So I think we've committed a great offense then, because they're so close to the Lord, and someone close to the Lord doesn't do anything against his desire, and we've cursed them for something that was against our desire. So they started thinking they had actually made a mistake, even though that the Lord was speaking to them in one way, they could tell that the meaning was something completely different. He was saying, yes, you've done very well, but actually, indirectly, he was explaining that they hadn't done well at all by cursing him. And then Krishna revealed this was actually, then he said that Lakshmi actually cursed them, and that's why they went to go. They had to go to the material world. And then he said, but actually that's not the reason either. So it's not your curse that's sending them to the material world. nor it's Lakshmi Devi's curse that's sending them to the material world. In fact, it's my desire, because I have pastimes I want to play. And only very intimate associates can have such a relationship with Krishna in this way. So, text 46, obsessed with hatred. What does obsessed mean?
Excited?
Yeah, fixed. The consciousness is fixed. It can't think of anything else other than Lord Krishna. So people in this world, what are the people in this world become obsessed by something? When someone is obsessed by thoughts of money or power or something, 24 hours a day, they're just thinking about how to get it. So these two, Jai and Vijay, became obsessed with hatred of Lord Krishna through three lifetimes. Sishupala attained the Lord's transcendental nature because through that constant and focused thinking of the Lord, they purified their consciousness again and went back home, back to Him. Indeed, one's consciousness determines one's future birth. So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Depends on the consciousness.
Depends on what time of the morning it is. Purport. Shishupala and his friend Dantavakra. What does Dantavakra mean? What is Vakra? You know? Something like that. Dant means teeth. Shishupala and his friend Dantavakra, Astavakra. Crooked name. Sisupala and his friend Dantavakra, who will be killed by Krishna in chapter 78, were previously Jai and Vijay, two gatekeepers in Vaikuntha. Because of an offense, the four Kumaras cursed them to take three births in the material world as demons. The first birth was Haranyaksha and Haranyakashipu. The second is Ravan and Kumbhakarna. And the third is Shishupala and Dantavakra. In each birth, they were completely absorbed in enmity toward the Lord and were slain by Him. Srila Prabhupada explains the position of Shishupala as follows. Although Shishupala acted as the enemy of Krishna, he was not for a single moment out of Krishna consciousness. He was always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and thus he got the first salvation. He got first the salvation of Sayuja Mukti, merging into the existence of the Supreme, and finally became reinstated in his original position of personal service. The Bhagavad Gita corroborates the fact that one who is absorbed in the thought of Krishna, thought of the Supreme Lord at the time of death, immediately enters the kingdom of God after quitting his material body. Sadatat Bhava Bharata. The third and seventh cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam elaborately describe the incident where the Lord's personal associates were cursed to come to the material world as his enemies. In this connection, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following verse from seventh canto, first chapter, 47. Tired? Huh? Vairanubandhutivrena dhyanayena chitta satmatam nita punar hari parasvam zagmatur vishnu prasadau. These two associates of Lord Vishnu, Jai and Vijay, maintained a feeling of enmity for a very long time. Because of always thinking of Krishna this way, they regained the shelter of the Lord, having returned home back to Godhead. Emperor Yudhisthira gave generous gifts to the sacrificial priests and members of the assembly, properly honoring them all in the manner prescribed by the Vedas. He then took the avabhrita bath. That means the bath that signifies the end of the sacrifice, concludes the sacrifice. Thus Sri Krishna, the Lord of all masters of mystic yoga, saw to the successful execution of this great sacrifice on behalf of King Yudhisthira. Afterwards, the Lord stayed with his intimate friends for a few months at their earnest request. Purport. Although Lord Krishna is the master of all masters of yoga, such as Lord Shiva, still he was controlled by King Yudhisthira's pure love. Thus the Lord personally saw to the successful completion of the king's sacrificial performance, and after that he agreed to stay with his dear friends in Indraprastha for a few more months. Then the Lord, the son of Devaki, took the reluctant permission of the king and returned to his capital with his wives and ministers. I've already described to you in detail the history of the two residents of Vaikuntha who had to undergo repeated births in the material world because of being cursed by Brahmins. Purified in the final Avavritti ritual, which marked the successful completion of the Rajasuya sacrifice, King Yudhisthira shone among the assemblies of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas like the king of the demigods himself. The demigods, humans, and residents of intermediate heavens, all properly honored by the king, happily set off for their respective domains while singing the praise of Lord Krishna and the great sacrifice. All were satisfied except one person, and that person is sinful, and his name was Duryodhana, the personification of the age of quarrel and the disease of the Kuru dynasty. He was like a spark in the fire of the Kuru dynasty, in the forest of the Kuru dynasty, and he would burn it to ashes. Like a disease, the personification of the age of quarrel. Vidura calls him in the third canto the personification of envy and offense. He could not bear to see the flourishing opulence of the son of Pandu. Srila Prabhupada writes, Duryodhana by nature was very envious because of his sinful life, and he appeared in the dynasty of the Kurus as chronic disease personified in order to destroy the whole family. Srila Sridhar Swami mentions that Duryodhana hated pure religious principles. 54, final verse. One who recites these activities of Lord Vishnu, including the killing of Shishupal, the deliverance of the kings, and the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice, is free from all sins. Thus, in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 74th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Deliverance of Shishupal at the Rajasuya Sacrifice. Now, the next chapter, not very much in the way of purports. It's why, here, after the Rajasuya sacrifice, the seed of the Kurukshetra battle, of course it was planted long before, in one sense, just by Duryodhana's existence and his enmity with the Pandavas, but here the seed begins to grow, his enmity with the Pandavas. Maharaj Prickett said, O Brahmana, according to what I have heard from you, all the assembled kings, sages, and demigods were delighted to see the wonderful festivities of King Ajatashatru's Rajasuya sacrifice. What does Ajatashatru mean? Ajata means no birth, and Shatru means enemy. One whose enemy has not been born. In other words, he had no enemies. So, why is it that King Ajatashatru, who was Yudhisthira, who had no enemies, with the sole exception of Duryodhana, how come he had this one enemy? Please tell me why this was so, my lord. How did this one person, Duryodhana, remain so inimical to Yudhisthira? Sri Bhadarayani said, see that? Sukadeva Goswami said, at the Rajasuya sacrifice of your saintly grandfather, his family members, bound by their love for him, engaged themselves in humble services on his behalf. He did not force his relatives to accept different tasks at the sacrifice. Rather, out of love, they volunteered to serve. Now here, well, what the different personalities who did out of their own free will, volition, to serve and please Maharaj Yudhisthira during the Rajasuya sacrifice. Bhim supervised the kitchen. Very good. Duryodhana, he was also favorable at that time, looked after the treasury. Would you want him to look after your treasury? Well, Sahadev respectfully greeted the arriving guests. Nakul procured needed items whenever one needed anything. And Arjuna attended the respectable elders. And Krishna washed everyone's feet when they arrived. Draupadi served food, and the generous Karna gave out gifts. Many others, such as Yuyudhan, Vikarna, Hardikya, Vidura, Burisrava, and other sons of Balika, like and Santardhan, similarly volunteered for various duties during the elaborate sacrifices, because Karna was famous for his charity. So he liked to do that. It says a charitable disposition. They did so because of their eagerness to please Maharaj Yudhisthira, O best of kings. After the priests, the prominent delegates, the greatly learned saints, and the king's most intimate well wishes had all been properly honored with pleasing words, auspicious offerings, and various gifts as remunerations, and after the king of Chedi had entered the lotus feet of the Lord of the Sattvatis, the Avabrita bath was performed in the divine river known as the Jamuna. During the Avabritya celebration, the music of many kinds of instruments resounded, including madangas, conch shells, panavas, dunduris, kettle drums, and gomukon horns. Female dancers danced with great joy, and choruses sang. The atmosphere was very auspicious, while the loud vibrations of veenas, flutes, and hand cymbals reached all the way to the heavenly region. The veena is considered the instrument that has the purest notes, but it's the purest notes. Hand cymbals. Tal, they're called here. All the kings wearing gold necklaces then set off for the Jamuna. They had flags and banners of various colors. They were accompanied by infantrymen and well-adorned soldiers riding lordly elephants, chariots, and horses. They met the massed armies of the Yadus, Shunjais, Kambojas, Kurus, Kekes, and Koshal made the earth tremble as they followed Yudhisthira Maharaj, the performer of the sacrifice, in procession. The assembly officials, the priests, and other excellent brahmanas resoundingly vibrated Vedic mantras, while the demigods, divine sages, pittas, gandharvas sang praises, and they rained down flowers from the sky. Men and women, all adorned with sandalwood paste, flower garlands, jewelry, fine clothing, sported by smearing and splinkering one another with various liquids. So the atmosphere was very auspicious. The men smeared the courtesans with plentiful oil, yogurt, perfumed water, turmeric, and kumkum powder, and the courtesans playfully smeared the men with the same substances. Srila Prabhupada, here's the purport. Srila Prabhupada describes this scene as follows. The men and women of Indraprastha, their bodies smeared with scents and floral oils, were nicely dressed in colorful garments and decorated with garlands, jewels, and ornaments. They were all enjoying the ceremony, and they threw on each other liquid substances like water, oil, milk, butter, and yogurt. Some even smeared these on each other's bodies. In this way, they were enjoying the occasion. The professional prostitutes were also engaged by jubilantly smearing these liquid substances on the bodies of the men, and the men reciprocated in the same way. All the liquid substances had been mixed with turmeric and saffron, and their color was a lustrous yellow. Surrounded by guards, King Yudhisthira's queens came out on their chariots to see the fun. Just as the demigods' wives appeared in the sky in celestial aeroplanes,
As maternal cousins and intimate friends sprinkled the queens with liquids, the ladies' faces bloomed with shy smiles, enchanting the queen's splendid beauty. Purport. The maternal cousins referred to here are Lord Krishna and such brothers as his as Gada and Sharan. And the friends mentioned are persons like Bhima and Arjuna. As the queen squirted water from syringes at their brothers-in-laws and other male companions, their own garments became drenched, revealing their arms, thighs, and waists. In their excitement, the flower garlands fell from their loosened braids. By these charming pastimes, they agitated those with contaminated consciousness. So the Prabhupada writes, such behavior between pure males and females is enjoyable, but persons who are materially contaminated become lustful. The emperor mounted upon his chariot drawn by excellent horses wearing golden colors appeared splendid in the company of his wives, just like the brilliant Rajasuya sacrifice surrounded by its various rituals. The priest led the king through the execution of the final rituals of Patni, Samyaja, and Avabhritya. Then they had him and Queen Draupadi sip water for purification and bathe in the Ganga. The kettle drums of the gods resounded, along with those of human beings. Demigods, sages, forefathers, and humans all poured down showers of flowers. All the citizens belonging to the various orders of Varnas and Ashramas then bathed in that place, where even the most grievous sinner can immediately be freed from all sinful reactions. Next, the king put on new silken garments and adorned himself with fine jewelry. He then honored the priests, assembly officials, learned brahmanas, and other guests by presenting them with ornaments and clothing. So he remunerated by giving clothing and ornaments to all those who participate in the jagya, and thus in that way he worshipped them. In various ways, King Yudhisthira, who had totally dedicated his life to Lord Narayan, continually honored his relatives, his immediate family, the other kings, his friends and well-wishers, and all others present there as well. All the men shone like demigods. They were adorned with jeweled earrings, flower garlands, turbans, waistcoats, silk dhotis, and valuable pearl necklaces. The lovely faces of the women were beautified by their matching earrings and locks of hair. They all wore golden belts. Then the highly cultured priests, the great Vedic authorities who had served as sacrificial witnesses, the specially invited kings, the brahmanas, the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, sudras, demigods, sages, forefathers, and mystic spirits. And the chief planetary rulers and their followers, all of them, having been worshipped by King Yudhisthira, took his permission and departed, O King, each for his own abode. As they all glorified the wonderful Rajasuya Jagya performed by that great saintly king and servant of Lord Hari, they were not satiated, just as an ordinary man is never satiated when drinking nectar. At that time, Raja Yudhisthira stopped a number of his friends, immediate family members, and other relatives from departing. Amongst them was Lord Krishna. He wouldn't let them leave. Everyone was leaving, but he couldn't tolerate everyone leaving because he needed them to share his happiness with, and the pains of separation would have ruined everything. Out of love, Yudhisthira could not let them go, for he felt the pain of imminent separation. My dear Parikit, the Supreme Lord remained there for some time to please the king, after first sending Samba and other heroes, Yadu heroes, back to Dwarka. Thus King Yudhisthira, the son of Dharma, was at last relieved of his burning ambition, having by the grace of Lord Krishna successfully crossed the vast and formidable ocean of his desires. Purport. The previous chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam clearly explained that King Yudhisthira intensely desired to demonstrate to the world the supremacy of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the blessings received by those who surrender to him. To do this, King Yudhisthira performed a Rajasuya sacrifice, a very difficult task. Srila Prabhupada writes in this connection, in the material world, everyone has a particular type of desire to be fulfilled, but one is never able to fulfill his desire to his full satisfaction. But King Yudhisthira, because of his unflinching devotion to Krishna, could fulfill all his desires successfully by performing the Rajasuya sacrifice. From the description of the Rajasuya sacrifice, it appears that such a function as a great ocean of opulent desires is not possible for an ordinary man to cross over such an ocean. Nevertheless, by the grace of Lord Krishna, King Yudhisthira was able to cross over it very easily, and thus he became freed from all anxieties. Now the fun ends, and the drama begins. So everything is very happy, everyone is, and people are still there with Yudhisthira, everything's exciting. Still, Yudhisthira is still effulgent, he's performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. But one day, Duryodhana, while observing the riches of King Yudhisthira's palace, felt greatly disturbed by the magnificence of both the Rajasuya sacrifice and its performer, the king, whose life and soul was Lord Achyuta. In that palace, all the collected opulence of the kings of men, all the opulence of the demons and gods were brilliantly manifest, having been brought there by the cosmic inventor, Maya Dhanava. With those riches, Draupadi served her husbands, and Duryodhana, the prince of the Kurus, lamented because he was very much attracted to her. Lord Madhupati's thousands of queens were also staying in the palace. Their feet moved slowly, weighed down by their hips, and the bells on their feet tinkled charmingly. Their waists were very slender, the kumkum from their breasts reddened their pearl necklaces, and their swaying earrings and flowing locks of hair enhanced the exquisite beauty of their faces. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, after looking at such beauties in the palace of King Yudhisthira, Duryodhana became envious. He became especially envious and lustful upon seeing the beauty of Draupadi because he had cherished a special attraction for her from the very beginning of her marriage with the Pandavas. In the marriage selection assembly of Draupadi, Duryodhana had also been present, and with other princes he had been very much captivated by the beauty of Draupadi, but he had failed to achieve her. It so happened that Emperor Yudhisthira, son of Dharma, was sitting just like Indra on a golden throne in the assembly hall built by Maya Dhanava. Present with him were his attendants and his family members, and also present with him was Lord Krishna, his special eye. Displaying the opulence of Brahma himself, King Yudhisthira was being praised by the court poets. Why is he described as his special eye? The purport explains it very briefly. Sridhar Swami explains that Lord Krishna is described here as Yudhisthira's special eye, since he advised the king on what was beneficial and what was not. So the eye sees, so Krishna could see what was beneficial and what was not. Proud Duryodhana, holding a sword in his hand and wearing a crown and necklace, angrily went into the palace in the company of his brothers, O king, and he insulted the doorkeeper as he entered. Srila Prabhupada writes that Duryodhana was always in an envious and angry mood, and therefore in a slight provocation he spoke sharply with the doorkeeper and he became angry. He was bewildered by the illusions created by Maya Dhanava's magic, and Duryodhana mistook the solid floor for water, and he lifted the end of his garment as he walked through it. and elsewhere he fell into the water. That's just what the queens did. That's just what they did. And elsewhere he fell into the water, mistaking it for the solid floor. My dear Pricket, Beam laughed to see this, and so did the women, the kings, and others. Everyone laughed when Yudhisthira did this. But King Yudhisthira tried to stop them. But Lord Krishna, he showed his approval. He said, laugh louder, laugh louder. Because all the ladies were laughing at him. Bhima, he was very inimical with Bhima. He laughed. Everyone laughed. That proud Duryodhana, who was already in a bad mood. Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura mentions that King Yudhisthira tried to check the laughter by glancing at the women and Bhima. But Lord Krishna, however, gave approval with a gesture of his eyebrows. The Lord had come to earth to remove the burden of wicked kings, and this incident was not unrelated to the Lord's purpose. Duryodhana was humiliated. He was burning with anger. He turned his face down and he left without uttering a word and went back to Hastinapur. The saintly persons present loudly cried out, alas, alas. And King Yudhisthira was somewhat saddened. But the Supreme Lord, whose mere glance had bewildered Duryodhana, now there was the reason why Duryodhana was bewildered. He remained silent, for his intention was to remove the burden of the earth. Do you like Duryodhana? Do you like him? I also don't like him. So Prabhupada writes, when Duryodhana left in such an angry mood, everyone regretted the incident, and King Yudhisthira also became very sorry. But despite all occurrences, Krishna was silent. He did not say anything against or in favor of the incident. It appeared that Duryodhana had been put into illusion by the supreme will of Lord Krishna, and this was the beginning of the enmity between the two sects of the Kuru dynasty. This appeared to be a part of Krishna's plan in his mission to decrease the burden of the world, and therein the seed of the battle of Kurukshetra was planted. I have now replied to your question, O King, concerning why Duryodhana was dissatisfied on the occasion of the great Rajasuya sacrifice. So why was he dissatisfied? Because he was envious. And then this inflamed the envy that he was already experiencing. Any questions or comments? As that chapter is finished.
The sacrifice of Yudhisthira and just peace was, it's like it was below Krishna's power, because Krishna had a different plans.
What do you mean below?
I mean, as Yudhisthira wanted to be the emperor of the world, and to be king, and to rule for many years, but that didn't happen because of the Krishna's plan. All the war that took place, and that he had to go to the forest for 13 years. And that's because Krishna didn't want it to happen.
Well, everything that happened, he wanted to happen. Yeah. So this was part of what happened. But Yudhisthira ended up king. And he ruled for quite a few years after the Battle of Kurukshetra. Quite a few, I can't. I once calculated how many. Quite a few, 30, 40, 50 or something. Maybe more even. Because after the Battle of Kurukshetra, he again took up the position of the emperor. So how many years it was between here and the battle, or between him going to the forest? I don't know exactly, because this is a bit out of order. The order of this part of the Bhagavatam isn't straight. Let's describe it a little bit later, see if I can find it. It's about the order. And then in the 82nd chapter, when Krishna goes to Krishna and all the members of Dwarka go to Kurukshetra and meet the residents of Vrindavan there, so Sanatana Goswami tells when everything took place. Sanatana Goswami explains in his Vaishnava Toshini commentary that the events of this 82nd chapter occurred after Baladev's visit to Vraj, which is chapter 65, and before Maharaj Yudhisthira's read the Suya sacrifice, 74. This must be so, the Acharya reasons, since during the eclipse occurred such that all the Kurus, including Dhritarashtra, Yudhisthira, Bhima, and Drona, met in friendship and happily shared the company of Sri Krishna. At the Rajasuya Yajna, on the other hand, Duryodhana's jealousy against the Pandavas became irrevocably inflamed. Soon after this, Duryodhana challenged Yudhisthira and his brothers to the gambling match. So soon after that, the reign of Kali came, in which he cheated them of their kingdom and exiled them to the forest. Right after the Pandavas returned from exile, the great battle of Kurukshetra took place. It was 13 years, right? So more or less right after the Rajasuya sacrifice, they had to go to the forest for 13 years, and then Kurukshetra war took place.
Yudhishthira is doing all that to show how opulent is Krishna, and then he loses it all. So,
and then he what?
And then he loses everything. And what would the people say?
People will, everyone, first of all, there were two things that happened. One was that everyone accepted and glorified Krishna as the most worshipable person, even in the presence of all the sages, all the Brahminical sages, and even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. So that was one thing that irrevocably happened. And another thing was that Yudhisthira was able to perform the sacrifice, which an average person cannot perform. And everyone understood that he was able to perform that by the mercy of Krishna. So then something else happened. But at least those, and that he was exiled, and all the Pandavas appeared to have lost everything. But those two things that occurred, clearly occurred by Krishna's mercy and for the glorification of Krishna. And then, after some time, they went to the forest, and then people, maybe, as you're implying, said, oh, maybe Krishna's not taking care of them, maybe Krishna's not taking care of them. But then, and the battle of Kurukshetra took place, and they were very much outnumbered, and Krishna was the chariot driver. So maybe up to that point, people might have been wondering, is Krishna really taking care of them? But after it was all done, and it was all the wondering was over, because everyone else was killed.
He created the suspense.
He's good at that.
So the same question is, why Shiva's devotees are rich and all Krishna's devotees are poor? Man, I just read it in chapter 88 that it says because of the devotees of Shiva's, under the material rewards of material life also, they can get all their riches. But Krishna, if he likes his devotees, he takes everything from them. And then,
but he gives them enough to survive, don't worry.
Yes.
Don't worry.
They are in different levels.
But it's also interesting that when... Yes, nice point. And to show that it was a different level, when Krishna is leaving, when Yudhisthira and everyone have been installed back in their position as king after the Kurukshetra war, and this is described in the first canto in the 8th chapter, then Krishna is leaving and going back to Dwarka. Kunti Devi says, I prefer the times when we were in the forest with you, dependent on you, and you being there, us being there in your association because of our dependence, to the
the situation now when we are king, showing the opulence. I'm the queen mother and Yudhisthira is the king, but you're leaving. So what is the real opulence? Is Krishna's favor and Krishna's association. Just another way to look at it, the proof of the devotees. So from the materialist point of view, it may look like one thing. Yeah? The material consciousness cannot see things accurately. But that's how the devotee sees. Materialist sees superficially. But Krishna consciousness is not superficial. And it's better that the materialist sees superficially. The glories of devotional service are covered from them so that they don't just try to become devotees to gain opulence, although some do that. Devotional service is quite mysterious. Any other thoughts or questions? Dhruv, prashna hai? So, we read a long pastime in one sense. What do you remember from what we read? What struck you, stayed in your mind and struck you? And also interesting in this regard, although we could say that Krishna took away Yudhisthira's kingdom for his own purposes, so that he could remove the burden of the earth. But he gave 16,100, whatever, 28,000, how many again? 20,800 kings. He made them kings. He made them opulent kings again. Regenerated, refreshed their body. So Krishna makes someone kings. He removes someone from being king, he places them, and the devotee, he doesn't care whether he's king or not king. He just cares that Krishna is pleased. This is the mood. And that's what Yudhisthira was thinking. He just wanted to please Krishna and get others to appreciate Krishna's position. So that full consciousness of all I want is Krishna's pleasure, nothing else is consequential. Nothing else matters other than to please Krishna. Let the world do what it's going to do. I don't care. Let Krishna be pleased. That's exalted consciousness. What do you think?
It is amazing to think like that. It's all the time to not to be affected from the material ways, and just to be focused on Krishna. It's very hard.
It's very hard unless you love Krishna. In fact, it's impossible. So we don't imitate. It's not a mental adjustment that we try to do it. Yeah, this is what we're supposed to do, and therefore we're going to. Doesn't work. We try to do it with the power of our intelligence, but this is something deeper and more spiritual. Happens by advancement. When there's love, it's completely natural. So we try to do it without the deep love. It can't be done. But it shows sincerity of desire. This is what we want. But how sincere, time tells. And how deep the desire is, time tells. And then Krishna, he shows us our hypocrisy and susceptibility to Maya because of our desires, weakness. So we become humble. And then we try to please Prabhupada and Krishna, and then knowing that we need their mercy, and then he admits, we just can't do these things by our own power. Power of the mind, intelligence, will, subtle, gross, by the strength of our arms, by the strength of our beauty, by the strength of the people we know, our wealth. This process is something quite different. Yes. Dhruv, bless you. In India, when someone sneezes, what do you say? Nothing. Huh?
Nothing.
Anyway, sneeze, okay. In Israel, what do they say?
Navalut. Like, for good health.
Well, you have good health.
Some.
Navalut?
Navalut?
Navalut? Yeah?
Livrut.
Huh?
Livrut.
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 Livrut. What do they say in Australia? Sugar, right. What do they say? They say anything? Kiwi land?
It almost came out, but I can't say.
Not proper in this group. We used to say, God bless you. That's what we used to say. New York is such a pious birth.
Not sense it is, because on the currency direct, in God we trust, Prabhupada.
Yes, but you know what they mean. In God we trust, everyone else pays cash. No one believes the currency.
I just think it's incredible that Duryodhana maintained such an envious disposition even in the direct company of Krishna and so
on. Who said this of Krishna?
Because
he was coming to the Pandavas. Krishna came and he, as a messenger of Yudhisthira, a peace messenger, just give us 5 villages and you called us enmity in the world. He wouldn't listen to Krishna. And he tried to flatter Krishna and get him on his side, feed him, and Krishna offer him a big feast. Because when someone feeds you, you feel obliged. And Krishna wouldn't eat his food. And then he tried to capture Krishna, tie him up, keep him a captive. Wrong move.
It's quite sobering. If you harbor something in the presence of Krishna, his devotees, the deities, if you harbor something, it's not released.
Therefore, you're not really in the presence of.
Right.
At those times, you're in the presence of your mind, and your enmity.
Right.
How strong and intoxicating the mind is. I said that to Prabhupada, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly, but something. But sometimes in his presence, you felt out of this world. And sometimes you felt your mind was so strong. So I said, how can that be? And he said, the intoxication of Maya is very strong. sits in the mind. Dhruv, don't eat pens. You want some banana or chapati? Okay. Or apple? But don't eat pens. Okay? If you're hungry, you can have some prasad. I think he understands most of what he's saying. Now let's see, he wants to eat some pens. Okay. No eating, just drawing. Drawing with pens is very good, Dhruv. The pressure is on. Any other questions or comments?
One thing is it was mentioned
just one thing. So when we see that our mind is so out of control, and even in the presence of God or the devotees, we remain angry, then we should become humble, at least, and know that we need Krishna's mercy.
In the Rasuya Yaga, even though Duryodhana was envious, he did still did all this service.
Yeah, amazing. And Karna also.
Yeah, and Karna. But Karna was pious. He was not as crooked as Duryodhana. But just because of his company, he was inflicted. But Duryodhana, even though he was envious from the birth, he still did all this service to Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Yeah.
So, it must be definitely after that incident where he fell into the water and...
Right, except that when they were younger, he tried to kill them and burn down the palace, and Bhima poisoned him and things, you know, like that. Little things. Playful jokes. But this really brought it out. Then it was, then the plan was hatched. And Sukuni came, gambling nights.